That's the title of the message. And but anyhow, most of what we're going to study, there's only a few passages we're going to look at in the Bible. And most of it is going to be on that because you couldn't possibly look up all the verses that we're going to look up. In fact, when I was putting it together, I thought, you know, there's, Jim Pittman comes at our church and he does where he dresses up the Apostle Paul and he just quote verse after verse after verse, pointing out right division. And I know he does it at other churches, and we who understand right division really appreciate it. But I think it just goes over the head of everyone because they have the same Bible, they read the same verses we do, but never see right division. And those things have to be explained. So I was thinking to myself, wait a minute, I'm going to show a whole bunch of verses, but is it going to go across? And I wasn't sure. And I'm still not sure. But yeah, those are the thoughts I've been having all week. But it stems out of this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just follow along. First four verses. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God and Sothenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Now, Father, with all the commotion that went on, we pray that it'll just be in the past and that the things that we have here to share, especially all your verses, I do pray indeed that it will speak to our heart and that we would appreciate your gift of eternal life and all the gifts that are involved in that gift of eternal life. So we pray this honors you, edify saints, and always, Father, if there's one here or one that will view through streaming or other means this program, may they realize how much you loved them, how complete your son's payment is on the cross as a payment for their sins, and how the gift is given to them freely by your grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, but are received upon faith. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I had a longer title than the one, The Gifts Within the Gift, and in the longer title, you'll see it a little bit later, but it's I actually titled it The Wondrous Gift and Grace Given from God by Our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a little long for a title, but that's really kind of everything that I want to express. You see it in that verse there. That verse 4 is the premise of it all. It says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Now that grace that we're going to be emphasizing is the salvation of grace. And certainly in that verse you see that the grace of God only came through and can only come to us through or by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the wondrous gift and grace given to us from God by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to kind of get our minds thinking, since this is generally like what I would say a Christmas message, it's the time of year that gifts are given. And I just jotted some thoughts down about gifts and given. And when a gift is given, some of the things that are involved in that. What a gift, when someone gives you a gift, what it represents. Well, the first thing is that the person was thinking of you. I mean, for them to give you a gift, they had thought about it. And when they thought about it, they were thinking about what good they can do for you. Thinking, what was your need? And surely, if it's a need, then it's surely your want. Then the person had to go and get it. They had to go. They had to put the thought into action. It just can't be a thought in their head. Oh, I meant to give you a gift. That doesn't work. And then when they go to do that, they had to pay the price for the gift. And you know, we don't always put a value on dollar signs. Like sometimes a child will give a gift and it'll be so precious because they thought it out and has a lot of value just because of the thought that they put into it and the very fact that a young child would think of you to give you that gift. But at other times, there is a time where when something does cost a lot. It just reflects how much that person indeed thought, not just thought of you, but how much that person loves you. So there is some thought to that as well. But even after all of that, that gift still has to be given. And there is a sense in which that gift is not totally given. It might be offered, but it's not given till it's received. So that gift has to be received. And when it is given as a gift, the very understanding of that is it's a free gift. Sometimes, you know, we do gift exchanges and things like that, but we're not talking about that kind of gift. We're talking about a gift that was given with no strings attached to it. The person giving it didn't expect anything in return. There's no exchange, okay, where's my gift? It's just out of gratitude gave you a gift, or out of their generosity gave you a gift. And then if you received a gift like that, the worst thing, maybe the second worst thing you could ever do is turn around and try to pay them for that gift. That would be an insult to the person who gave the gift. But I say that's probably the second, because you know what the first thing would be? Is for the person to think, oh, I deserve this. You know, a lot of times in companies, they give a bonus at the end of the year. And most of the employees, I believe, have the idea, this is a bonus, it's above my salary, but I deserve this. And they don't realize that it is, that they ought to have a different attitude about that. And certainly when we're talking about a personal gift, for you to receive a gift, it'd be an insult to try to pay for it after you receive it. But it'd also be an insult for you to think, well, I deserve this. And then, so if that's the case, then all that's left is for you to just simply tell the person thank you. Because what else can you do? Well, I hope you follow through that, because we are talking about the gift from God of eternal life. And when we think about that as a gift of God, which is eternal life, the very thought that God thought of you in the first place. And you're going to see some verses where he did. He thought of you. But not just thought of you. In thinking about you, he thought, what good can I do for them, for you? And then when he thought about that, he thought about your need. And certainly, if it's a need, it's a want. How could you want any more than eternal life? How could you have a greater need than the forgiveness of sins by a holy God that you've offended? And God gives you forgiveness and eternal life as a free gift from him. But God just didn't have that thought. He had to take that thought and put it into action. And we know that God sent his son to die on a cross to pay for our sins. So that not only did he put it into action, he sent his son, and his son paid the full, complete price of all of our sins. When you think about that, think about the value of that gift, that God saw your need, gave his son to die in your place. Do you deserve that? The value of his son taking our place and dying on the cross for our sins. But then he gives it as a gift. It's offered to us. It's offered to all of mankind, but when I say to us, hopefully you've already received that gift, because the gift is not yours until you receive it. And that's where the gift must be received. And if you received it, you received it of God, and when it was given to you, it was given as a gift, implying it was a free gift. In fact, the worst thing you could do is try to pay God back for it. It would be an insult to God. And so you would have to receive it as a gift, and no expectation in return, and then never insult God by trying to pay for it. And the worst thing you could do is to insult God by saying, I deserve it. That's where you get the understanding of grace. And so if you can't deserve it, you can't earn it, and it's given to you as a free gift out of God's love, the only thing left to do is to say thank you. And faith is the means by which you say thank you and receive God's gift. Now, there are some verses that I want you to see, because that whole thought came to me out of looking at that verse 4 of 1 Corinthians. But flip back to Romans chapter 3, where Paul starts giving the gospel, and we're not going to go through all the verses. But I just want to remind you about the gift that we're talking about, the gift of God, which is eternal life. In Romans chapter 3, in verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Then it goes on to explain, "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." So we start out with the bad news that we're sinners and we come short of the glory of God. We're not going to share in God's glory. We're not going to share in God's heaven. But there's a way that we can be declared righteous, justified freely by God's grace. It's through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth to be a full satisfying payment for our sins. And so that introduces the gospel message. You hear me saying this, so it's chapter 6 of the book of Romans, verse 23, where it just spells it out simply. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So that there's the statement there about what I call the wondrous gift and grace given to us from God by our Lord Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We're talking about that particular gift. You know, when I said that the title is Gifts Within the Gift, when we start going through some verses, I want you to pay attention to the gifts, plural, that's within the singular gift. Did you ever get a gift? Now, two ways that people do it. One, they might have a box, and you unwrap the box, and you open it up, and there's not just one gift in there, there's several gifts in there. But then you always have the clown, and everybody's done this because I've done it. So I'm sure you've done it too, where you take a box, you wrap it up, and then but you put inside it another box that's wrapped up. And then inside that box is another box that's wrapped up. So it's gifts within the gift, but they got to open each one. And they usually end up with one gift. So that's not really the best application. The one is that there's several gifts within the gift. And when we talk about God's gift of eternal life, that's what I want you to think about as we do that. In fact, come over to Romans chapter 11, and this is a dispensational statement about the gift to us Gentiles as revealed by the Apostle Paul. He's actually explaining how God has turned from Israel to the Gentiles, but notice the benefit or those who benefit from it. I'm going to start at the end, verse 32. Romans 11, verse 32. It says, "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." Now that's an amazing statement. Everybody rejects God, Jew and Gentile alike, and so God concludes them all in unbelief for a reason, that he might have mercy upon all. There's your gift of God. That's why verse 33 says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Well, that verse 35 there. Who first has given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again? No one first gives to God. God is always the giver. And there's no God given paying you back for something you gave him. God is the giver, and he gives all things to us. He is rich in his gifts to us. And you can't, the idea here is you can't outgive God. Now, in just a minute, we're going to start looking at some of the verses that would just tell you. So rather than me preaching, and rather than you look up, and at the end I'll tell you how many verses we've gone through. But I want you to notice as we go through this, certain words like gift, given, gave, and maybe even grace. But I want you to notice each one of those as we go through there. And what I did is when I put the verses in here, I actually would capitalize those terms. Sometimes there's other places where I couldn't do it or they appeared too many times in one verse. But I want you to keep an eye on that because that's what we're talking about, the gifts within that gift of eternal life. Now, our outline is actually going to be that we're going to start with salvation there and talk about salvation and the gift that God gave us in that salvation and the gifts that are there. So, let me give you the outline of what we're going to cover. When you talk about the gift of salvation, and which includes all kinds of gifts, there's the gift of grace. It's given by grace. It's given through faith. It's given as a gift from God to us. And it's all given by the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. And that is to go to the cross and die on the cross for our sins. So that salvation, when we talk about that salvation, it's given by grace. It's given through faith, that the means by which we receive it. It's given as a gift from God to us. And it's all by the Lord Jesus Christ giving himself to die on the cross for our sins. Now, that's the salvation part. From there, we're going to move on and talk about the gift was given from God to the Lord Jesus Christ, and actually through the Lord Jesus Christ, but revealed to the Apostle Paul for him to deliver to us. We wouldn't know about that gift unless God gave us an apostle with that message. Then we're going to see that not only did God save us when we trust the gospel, he sealed us. He gave us his Holy Spirit in order to seal us until the day of redemption. So there's another part of that gift. And then finally, we realize that you and I sitting here today in, was it 2025, that we would never know about any of these things if we couldn't put them up on verses for you to see on the screen or in your Bible here. In other words, the point is that God put it all in writing and preserved it for us. And in Paul's epistles, we find the message for us. And we find all of God's word in all of his holy scriptures, so that he gave us the Bible. Now, with all that said, there's three verses at the end that I just want you to just stop and reflect on. So we're going to be looking at each of these things. The first is, as we set up there, when we think of salvation, think of all that God has given us within the gift of salvation. Now, when I say that, the gift that, put that where I can see it myself. It's before we list the verses, I call it given by grace. Now, you need to understand something about grace, and that is the word grace, my definition that I say so often, is getting what you do not deserve and cannot earn. Now, if you get what you cannot earn or what you do not deserve and cannot earn, it has to be a gift, just by very definition. And it has to be a free gift, because you didn't earn it and you don't deserve it. So when we start thinking about salvation and realize that it's given by grace, that grace in itself is a gift. In fact, there's one particular place where the word grace is actually, when you read your Bible, you'll read the word gift. Because grace means gift. And by very definition, you see that that's true. So that the list starts this way. The grace of God which bringeth salvation. That's a good place to start. Because the salvation that we are trusting in to give us eternal life, that gift of eternal life that comes by God's grace, the grace of God, it brought salvation to us. Then in Romans chapter 5 and verse 16, it talks about the gift, the free gift unto justification. And there's certain verses, there's a lot more verses that I could put up on all of these things. But the very fact that when it says a free gift unto justification, there's a gift itself would just say it's free. But just in case we don't get it, the Bible calls it the free gift unto justification. Then to them that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, goes on to say, shall reign in life by Christ Jesus. So that gift has to be received, but there it is again. There's the abundance of grace and a gift of righteousness. There is the gift of righteousness unto justification of life, as it's explained in Romans chapter 5 and verse 18. Or, as it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I didn't underline or list those gifts, but when I say gifts within the gift, first of all, there's grace, there's justification, there is righteousness that's given to us, even the emphasis righteousness unto justification, and all of that brings us eternal life. So already we're unfolding the gift that's within the gift. Go a little bit further than that. That it's given through faith. And that the verse there, Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Now think about all the things that are given just in that gift itself. Not only is it freely we're justified freely by his grace, but it's through the redemption. Redemption is freedom by payment of a price. You had a debt of sin over your head, and you're free from that debt of sin because of the payment that Jesus Christ made. That payment is called a propitiation, full satisfying payment. He didn't pay part of it. He didn't pay a down payment. He paid the full debt of your sins. And it's yours through faith in his blood, because it's his blood that was shed to pay for your sins. And so we go on from there. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure. And it goes on to say to all the seed, not just to Israel, but to us as well. That promise of life that we have in Christ Jesus. It's by faith that it might be by grace that the promise might be sure. Well, it's by faith that it might be by grace, because if it was anything other than faith, it wouldn't be grace. And if it was anything other than faith and grace, you wouldn't be sure you have it. But God made it such a free gift that you can be absolutely sure you have eternal life by putting your faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it can be sure to you by believing on that. It is the promise of life. Now, you can read Galatians there, chapter 3, and realize in the context of the chapter, he's talking about the promise of life. And then it concludes in verse 22, given to them that believe. That the means by which we receive this gift of eternal life is by believing what God said Jesus Christ accomplished in our behalf. And so it is by grace are ye saved through faith. Now, that verse of scripture, hopefully you have it memorized in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 8. But going a little bit further with that same verse, that it's given as a gift from God to us, so that God gave us this gift of eternal life. And so finishing that verse out, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Then it goes on to say, not of works, lest any man should boast. But also, you read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 15, it's comparing the sin that Adam brought in and the salvation that Jesus Christ brought in, and just kind of abbreviating the verse, it says, so also is the free gift. The gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And so the gift came by the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's the free gift given by grace, as it says in that verse. Then there is the wages of sin is death. We've read this one already. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, when I share the gospel with someone, I use this verse because most people, I don't think, are aware that salvation is a gift from God. Although, when you quote the verse and say that to them, they say, oh, yeah. Then you say, well, what do you think you have to do to go to heaven? And they start listing all the things they have to do. Well, wait a minute, what happened to this gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? It's not through you, and it is a gift from him. A gift is something that's just given to you that you just receive, not something that you have to go and pay him back or give him a gift exchange. Anyhow, people say they understand it's a gift, but they really don't understand that it's a gift. Romans 6:23 just makes it plain. They just have to think about it. And then it goes on to say, that he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What a question to ask. You know, to think, if God did not spare his own son, Not only did he give him to earth, he gave him to die on the cross and did not spare him from dying on that cross. Didn't spare him from our sins being placed on him there. He died for our sins, as a punishment for our sins, as a propitiation for our sins. And if God did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You can't outgive God. He's given his best already. And how shall he not with him freely give us all things? But as we've been saying all along, and that is, that gift is by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ giving himself, first of all, to go ahead and die on the cross for our sins, and as it says in Romans, to rise again for our justification. If you stay dead, who's going to declare us righteous? If he was dead, sin, he died for his own sin. The very fact that he could come up from the grave is the fact that he knew no sin, but he died for our sin, and he was raised for our justification. And so the verses that talk about the Lord doing that, it says, do I have that one? That did go. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. And he just starts out, that's the book of Galatians, giving thanks to God for his grace and for the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. He didn't just give himself, but he gave himself for our sins. Now I found this one, this next section, I had to put them all together because it's real interesting. The Apostle Paul talks about in Galatians 2:20. The verse says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, we know he didn't just die for the Apostle Paul. We also know, and by the end of looking at that list, you realize you could read that verse and put your name in the word me, because he did die for you. He died to pay for your sins. It's personal. So it starts out in Galatians there being personal. But when you get over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, it talks about Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us. Well, he didn't just die for you. He died for all of us. But he did die for you personally. But he died for all of us. Well, when you get to the later in that chapter, chapter 5 and verse 25, it makes this declaration, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The church is the called out assembly. He died for every one of us who are saved and have trusted Jesus Christ. We are God's called out assembly, and he died for it. He died for the church and gave himself for it, the church. Well, that has got some people saying, well, see, he only died for those that he chose to save. And as if it's limited there. But it's not limited there because they just limited their reading. That's just in chapter 5 of Ephesians. When you get over to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And Paul is the one who testified the fact. Prior to the Apostle Paul, you read about the Lord gave himself a ransom for many, speaking about the nation of Israel. Paul's message is Jew and Gentile alike. God concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. And today, he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So you go from me to us to the church to everybody, even the lost people. He gave himself for them. And now that's the message that God has for everyone. Titus calls him the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. And that's an interesting passage because that's talking about him coming back to take us home to glory. That's in the passage that's talking about the rapture. It says we're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us and then that he might redeem us unto himself, a peculiar people, and so forth. So he gave himself for us again. And then there's the gospel according to the power of God who hath saved us according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It's salvation, it's God's purpose in saving us. He had a purpose that was in his mind before the foundation of the world. He not only saved us, in verse what goes on to say, and called us according to his own purpose and grace, and that purpose and grace is given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all by him, given to us as a gift because of what he accomplished in our behalf. Now we move on from there to talk about the gift of this grace was given from God to, and we also know through the Lord Jesus Christ, but given to the Lord Jesus Christ to reveal it to the Apostle Paul for him to deliver that message to us. And that's what we stand for here at Grace Bible Church. You wouldn't know about the salvation that we're talking about if God didn't, through Christ and Jesus Christ, giving it, revealing it to Paul and sending Paul to deliver us that message. And so that message comes to us so that we know that we can receive it and can be saved by the grace of God. It says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think." Well, grace will cause you to think properly. That's kind of obvious, but the point of that verse is, "I say, through the grace given to me," Paul says. So it was revealed to the Apostle Paul, but he goes on to say, for instance, in Romans 15:15, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God." Well, he's telling us what God gave him. So it was revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul for him to deliver to us. And it's according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. It goes on to say, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." You know, people overlook the Apostle Paul, and he talks about according to the grace of God, which is given to him, he was a wise master builder. And he lays the foundation, and the foundation, only foundation, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the foundation for Israel's program, but he's the foundation for our program in the dispensation of grace. And that message of the dispensation of grace, Paul calls himself the wise master builder because God gave him that information. And of course, to deliver to us. And so we have what we, when we go to the gospel verse in Romans, or in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, "I delivered unto you," he's our mailman, "I delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So Paul was the one that Jesus Christ sent out to deliver us that message of our salvation and all of God's program in grace. Now, he sent him to do that, but others had to learn about that special revelation to Paul. So in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9, when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, it goes on to say, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that he should go to the heathen and they to the circumcision. But they finally perceived the grace that was given to Paul. Boy, if people would just recognize that, this church would be filled. And they need to realize where their message comes from and where it's found in the Bible. He goes on to say, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words." So the Apostle Paul is the one that God revealed the mystery of this age of the dispensation of grace that we're living in today. And Paul goes on from there to add those other thoughts. He says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me," are you catching all those gifts and given as we go through this? "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given." He goes on to say, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles in verity and truth," he goes on to say. So the Apostle Paul was the one that was sent to deliver us that message. Now, another part of that gift is that upon salvation, God has given us the Holy Spirit to seal us as his possession. And so not only did he save us, he sealed us. And to seal us, he gave us his Holy Spirit. And you'd be surprised how many times that shows up in Paul's epistles. For instance, we don't even have everyone here, but the Holy Ghost, first of all, is referred to in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2 as the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. How is it that you have eternal life as a possession? Well, you got the Holy Spirit, and he is the Spirit of life. You possess right now eternal life. That wasn't true before the Holy Spirit was given. They had a promise of life. They looked forward to eternal life. But today, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, not only are you saved from your sins, you're given the Holy Spirit, and he is the Spirit of life. So you have eternal life as a present possession. Goes on to say in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. So, and what he's talking about in that passage is all the things that you go through, trials and tribulation, but you have a hope, and that hope is sure because you have the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is making sure that you never have to be ashamed. You'll never be ashamed to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, that somehow you're going to end up suffering in hell or cut off from God. No, the reason that you have this hope is because the Holy Spirit has been given to you. And so you'll never be ashamed. You'll never be disappointed, as it might also be said. God, who also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now notice at the end there, that 2 Corinthians, that same phrase is used twice in 2 Corinthians. I didn't put it there twice. I just reminded you there, it's there twice. The one that we often refer to is in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, speaking about in Christ. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. I only put verse 13 there, but that's how long you're sealed, until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and takes possession of you, because he owns you. You're his. And you're sealed with the Holy Spirit until that day takes place. We call that the rapture. It goes on to say in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 8, which is interesting because if you know anything about the book of Thessalonians, it's all about the rapture. It's all about Christ coming for us. And he says in the middle of those verses there, God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. That's how we know we're going to be raptured. In fact, we're going to be set apart with the Spirit of God in 2 Thessalonians talks about. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's a small s on that, but that's the truth that we know because the Holy Spirit is given to us, that we're not given a spirit of fear, but we are given a spirit of power and love and a sound mind because of the Holy Spirit given to us. Now, I also said that all of that comes our way because it's given to us in writing, preserved by God, found for us in Paul's epistles, but in all of the Holy Scriptures, that we know these things are true, and this is our gift from God. So as we consider those verses, it says, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, he was given the spirit, he wrote down, but it's first given to him that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Then he goes on to say, he says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. There, Paul now starting to refer to what he wrote, and we're to acknowledge that they are from the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verses 3 and 4, it goes on to say, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And then he goes on to say, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me to fulfill the word of God. So what was given to the Apostle Paul concludes the Scriptures. Because the rest of the Scriptures has to do with God's program with Israel. Paul's Scripture is the Scripture that God, what God is accomplishing today with us. And Paul's Scripture fulfills the Word of God. So also, he says, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Now that's Peter who writes about Paul. Is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as in all his epistles. So the Apostle Paul took that message and wrote it down, and that's why we have it today in Paul's epistles, preserved by God for us. But not just Paul's epistles, all Scripture. Because the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Do you realize what the meaning of Scripture is? Scripture is the written word of God, script. And so we're still talking about all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and we have all Scripture given to us today. So all those statements being made, let me bring it to a conclusion. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, just in a basic statement, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Everything you have is given to you from God, one way or another, directly, indirectly. It's all from God. And, you know, as Americans, when it says, charge them that are rich in the world, we think of people, well, for us here, we think of people richer than us. But we're richer than most people in the world. And we're to not trust in those riches, but in the living God, because it's God who richly gives us all things to enjoy. Think about this verse of Scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. It says, now the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us, now notice what he's given us, everlasting consolation. You can be consoled all the way through life and for all eternity because he's given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. That hope is the hope of eternal life, a hope that is sure. And so that's why it's an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. And that can comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So the verse that would explain everything that we talked about is 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, where all we can do is say thanks. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Did you pay attention to the word gift, given, gave, as we went through the passage? We went through 46 verses just now. Aren't you glad it was on the screen? 46 verses where those three terms were repeated over and over again 34 times. Now that doesn't include the word grace that was also found in those 46 verses another 20 times. So 54 times you learned all about the grace and the gift of God, which is through the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And that's why we can give thanks to God for his unspeakable gift, the gift of his Son to die on the cross and pay for our sins, a gift that can only be received, a gift that we can only say thank you and receive it because we do not deserve it and certainly cannot earn it. It is God's gift to us and repeated so often in his epistles to us that it should never be missed. And hopefully you've never missed it and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. So we thank you, say thank you to the Lord. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do give our thanks to you. I don't know if it was profitable to just repeat verse after verse after verse that explains to us all the different ways that you brought salvation to us and just wrapped it up and called it the gift of eternal life and reminded us that it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we thank you that you said it more than once. We thank you that you told us that it's not only a gift, but it's a free gift. It's given by you. It's all accomplished by your Son, the Lord Jesus. so that we would never think that we could pay you back, earn it, deserve it. But Father, we realize why it's on the basis of faith, because all we can do is say thank you and receive it. So Father, I pray that each person here has already trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, realized the great cost that was paid, the great price that was paid for our salvation, and has settled the issue to receive your gift of eternal life. And if there's others later who will hear this message on a recorded site or something, Father, I pray that they have realized that they can't work their way into heaven. All they can do is realize how much you love them and provided for them and receive by faith your gift of eternal life and say, thank you, Lord. In Christ the Savior's name we pray. Amen.